thought I'd share with you tonight. One of the things that in my life has, when I think of prayer as going to the master of the universe, it sounds scary, it sounds intimidating. Then when I think that this one is my father, it softens. But when I realize that in salvation, he has brought me into his son, then I recognize that I'm in pretty good shape here. Our identification with Christ. We all were born dying. This was the result of Adam, who chose to separate from God. We then recognize that in Christ, it's actually the work of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is immersion. Not sprinkling, not pouring, it's immersion. And what is the Holy Spirit? The scripture, comparing scripture with scripture, we find that the Holy Spirit is the one who was the agent of baptism, and we were baptized into Christ. Well, that was when, that was the fulfilling of the new covenant. That was how we could be saved, that we would be joined in. Brother Jeb coined the concept of the Jesus Corporation, or Jesus Incorporated, teaching through Galatians, that that all of the legal descriptions of earth are done away with, and we are brought into Christ. That, you know, in a corporation, if somebody tries to sue this man or that man, he can't do that. He is covered by the corporation. He may sue the corporation. Well, incorporate means to put into the body, and that's exactly what is done. We are baptized into the body of Christ. All that to say that that's how God thinks of us. This is how Christ thinks of us. Our relationship to Adam caused us to be dead in sin, but our relationship to Christ caused us to be dead unto sin. So, Romans 6, 3 to 5. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? How is it that the consequence of our sin, which is death, was paid for? Well, Jesus died. We entered into him. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We get to experience new life. Christ's resurrection was unlike any other resurrection. We recognize that all the others who were raised before and after Christ would have to die again. They were raised to the old life. Jesus was raised in newness of life, a different kind of life. He got his spiritual body. Galatians 2, 11 and 12, in whom also you are circumcised with circumcision made without hands, a spiritual circumcision. The prophets of old kept telling Israel, it's not about the ritual. They say, circumcise your heart over and over again. With a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So we become Christ in God's opinion. When you, the devil tempts you to say, does he love me anymore? Will, when he sees what I've done, will he let me go? Ask yourself, when will he let his son go? When will he reject his son? For you are in his son. Your safety is there. So tonight, try to quickly go through this, our identification with Christ's resurrection. This idea that we were raised, we were put to death with him, that was the judgment of our sin. That was paying the consequence of sin, which is death. However, we were also raised with him. So let's look at this tonight. Once we were liberated from our condemnation, we can look up. We are identified with the resurrection of Christ. When he burst the bonds of death, he took us with him. Listen to Galatians 6, 4, and 5. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's a picture of that very concept of his new way of life. Death couldn't touch him anymore, see? He was immune to it after that. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Again, Ephesians 2, 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive, together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. So, I want you to recognize then that you here tonight, as children of God, believers in Christ, you have a new position of life. Our old position in Adam made us dead in relationship to God, but alive in relationship to sin. Our new position in Christ made us alive in relation to God, and dead in relation to sin. This is one of those things that is a truth that we don't feel. We don't feel dead to sin. We feel very alive to sin. It still is antagonizing us. But it's a truth of God. Listen to Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead. I told you about the girls that were, after they got saved, were invited to a party. They knew what kind of party it was going to be. They talked to their preacher and they said, we know we shouldn't do that, but we don't want to offend people. So he went over this with them. So they sent him back a notice. I'm sorry, we cannot attend. We are dead. Raised some questions. But, you know, really, they got it. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. For you are dead is literally for you died. It's a thing of the past. It refers to an event in the past rather than a condition of the present. You experienced this death with Christ. By belief, you entered into that predestined plan that he had put into place before the creation of man. Our spiritual life is hidden from the eyes of man and is safe with God. In our old position, God was our fearful judge, the one who had to superintend. Studying through for Sunday, the passage was Romans 9, 10, and 11. And there he says, God is willing to show his wrath against sin. He's not going to stop at this. God was our fearful judge. We were his convicts. In our new position, God is our loving Father. We are his sons. Let us rejoice in this. John 1, 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Galatians 4, 6, and 7, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because you're a son, you can call him your father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The son becomes an heir. That's how we get our inheritance. It's by our sonship. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. You want to be a chip off the old block. You want to be the nut that didn't fall far from the tree. You want to be the son of God, and you want people to notice the similarity. Blameless, harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. What a picture, huh? Blameless and harmless in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. This is where we are today. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Hebrews 2:10, for it became him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Christ, he's talking about, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Actually talking about God the Father doing this to God the Son so that he could accomplish his purpose, bringing many sons unto glory. And then in 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now. We don't die, go to heaven to become the sons of God. We are sons of God. You are sons of God right now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. It was so great to have Brenda come be with us on Sunday. So she contacted us through, I think, the Facebook page or something. Said, I didn't get pastor's contact information. So I sent it to her. And so I got her. She said, I have a question about something he said in the sermon. I thought, oh, well, maybe I wasn't quite clear. It ends up, she picked up on my feeble joke about that my elder brother is Jewish and one day I'll be all Jewish. I was talking about this verse, you see. I'm not really going to be Jewish, and I don't think, you know, that all those distinctions seem to disappear once we're one with Christ. But anyway, so I sheepishly explained that to her. But here it says, we are the sons of God, and it's going to get better. When we see him, we'll be formed into his image. But this is not the physical image or his genetic image. It is his Godhead. We have the righteousness of God. So we have been looking at point A, our new position in life. Now B, our undefiled human nature. The human nature, sometimes people talk about the sinful nature and this type of thing, and I don't like that terminology. Nature is a strong word. It's the characteristic of what you are in essence. And we have the example of both Adam and Jesus Christ, who had a human nature, but without sin. Adam put sin on it, but began without sin. So sin is not our nature. That's too strong a word. It's using the word carelessly. In our co-resurrection with Christ, God gave a new life with an undefiled human nature that can bring forth only righteousness. We can bring forth only the good fruit as we are in Christ. Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. We were singing, his law is love. This is the truth. But with the flesh, the law of sin. We have two parts of us that are fighting against each other. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. We are born again unto a lively, living hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. This is that new life, that undefiled human nature. So catch the idea. Our old life was not improved, healed, made a little better, you see. It is exchanged for something entirely new. This is who we are as we go to prayer tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creation is the technical term of the word. Old things are passed away, not just made better, you see. They were passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. We're good. God and us are good, you see. Reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, calling others to that reconciliation. So we become a new creature. God sees us as completely new in his resurrected Son. He wants us to see ourselves through his eyes. Our personal identity is kept intact. My wife was asking this years and years ago, that she, I think some preaching she had heard, the idea was that she was going to be changed into something that she isn't. And that didn't sit well with her. There was something about that, about being who she was, that she wanted to. But this is what God did. We are not, we're a new creature, but that's within us. These are all the different personalities that he was bringing in as sons of God. Notice the use of the word you in Colossians 1:21-22 and in chapter 2, verse 13. And you the individual, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is that you. Again in Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So this is the concept. You don't change into a different being, but you are the new and improved you. You are the one with the undefiled human nature. The second concept here are identification with Christ's ascension and session. Session meaning the time when we're seated with him in the heavenlies. Having been born from above, we are to live above, Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I thought it was interesting that I saw, I don't know, sympathy card, some sort of a card that said, keep looking down. What? I opened it up and it said, you're seated with him in the heavenlies. How are we seated with him in the heavenlies when we're seated right here? Well, we're in Christ, and that's where Christ is. So as far as accomplishing our salvation, the greatest part of us is already there. Then again, Roman numeral 3, our new walk of fruitfulness. That corrupt tree has been changed to a good tree. Now the fruit can be good. We are positionally in the Lord Jesus Christ, seated in heaven. Practically, we are in the Spirit of Christ here on earth, the Holy Spirit living within us. This is why the Holy Spirit is our environment in this sin-cursed world. It's why we're described as being in the Spirit or in Christ. Romans 8:1-9. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We've been baptized into Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're following the Spirit. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Spirit in us, we in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? This isn't about you just picking your way and trying to do the best you can. This is actually operating within the realm of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. This is that spiritual circumcision that the prophets had asked for, the circumcision of the heart. 1 Peter 4:6, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the life of Christ as our new life. He develops the image of Christ in and through our undefiled human nature. He does this on two fronts. On the one hand, he applies Christ's finished work to our flesh. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you defeat sin? You actively walk in the Spirit. On the other hand, he causes the nine evidences of the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our new life and to be produced by our life. Galatians 5, 22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Let's take a close look at Galatians 2:20. What is the apostle saying here? I am, being in Christ, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not somebody else. It's still the you, but now purified. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. This is the new me, an improved me. This is a Nancy 2.0. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want you to notice just four things here. Number one, our old man has been crucified. It's perfect passive, something that happened to us, but perfect, I stand crucified with Christ. Number two, our new position, it is no longer the old I that lives, but instead Christ lives in the new me, the new creation. God is love. He has poured his love within us. The very God lives within us now so that we can care for God and others as God does. Number three, our new man lives life in the flesh. That's why we're still here, but in faith. That means doing it the way God says, not the way we figure out. And number four, this living faith is in the Son of God who loved me individually. That class action provision we've talked about was completely known of God, who was coming, who was not. So he, God who's outside of time, saw the end of time and made that provision so that you could come. Loved me individually, though a sinner, and sacrificed himself for me. The old self then must decrease. This body of sin, this corrupting, dying, sin-cursed old self. We have to eliminate it. It must decrease. The new self must increase. This does not mean that we are to be passive. Christ is our risen life, but he is the life of our newly created life. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The meaning of life for the Christian is Christ. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So it is not so much that we are to be, um, I have the wrong word here. In him as it is that he... forget what I was saying here. Not so much. We are to be in him as it is that he is to be found in us. Okay. Doesn't sound very good. 2 Corinthians 4:11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. This is one of the things we have to face in this life. And in that, the old man is that which should be dying. That the life, for the purpose that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, in our dying, in our service and death to self, we show forth the life of Christ. So he lives in me, not instead of me. You don't lose who you are. Flowing into me, he is the source and motivation of my Christian life. He is my new man. Miles Stanford wrote a little book, which I enjoyed, and he said this: I am to realize and rest in the fact that it is my being, my personality, which is enlifed. I think he made that word up. Enlifed, that we are made alive by the human divine life and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the same person, but with a new life union with his life. By the ministry of the indwelling Holy Spirit, I will grow in grace and increasingly be conformed to his image. So as we come to him in prayer, let us understand we have been identified with Christ. This is an important, I think, important concept.